This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. It's Anthony today. Father Tom, he's on his way with Father Matt to Canada because he's going to a wedding of Ariana. She's just wonderful. She led praise and worship for Glory Nights for many years. But God led her to her husband and for her to start her life in Maine. Now, I have to stay because the ministry must continue, preaching both on the radio and on the streets of Salem this weekend. But today's October 3rd, 2025. It's a special day for me because 36 years ago, the Lord gave me the gift of life and I was born. And for 28 years of my life, I lived my life as a king of my life. And when I lived as my own king, my life had moments of pleasure. My life had moments of happiness, but my life was incomplete. My life without Jesus had no fulfillment. My life without Jesus had no purpose. Towards the end, my life without Jesus became miserable. My life without Jesus became controlled by the devil, because we are either a slave to Christ, which leads to righteousness, or we are a slave to sin, which leads to death. That there were many times that I should have died. I should not be here, but by the grace of God, He kept me alive so that I could fulfill my purpose to love God, so that I could be here to speak to you about the goodness of Jesus and the plan He has set before us before the foundation of the world. Yesterday, as I was thinking about what the Lord wanted me to speak about, the Holy Spirit was just really inspiring me that on my birthday to really share and be vulnerable and give my testimony to you. Because we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the witness of our testimony. And there's many people in the kingdom, they are schooled in philosophy and they have lots of schooling and wisdom. And, you know, I was just taught by the Holy Spirit and serving Father Tom in his ministry and watching him. You know, if you want to become a great man of God, the fastest way is to find a great man of God and serve a great man of God. Because the kingdom of God is more caught than it is taught. And the anointing flows from one person to another. So, you know, in these last 8 years, I've had the grace and the opportunity of God to be around so many great people of God. Father Tom, Father Matt, other pastors, Pastor Miles, who aren't Catholic, and just watch and just learn from their witness of their life. What did St. Paul say? He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that is what we all want to walk in. So Lord, as I get into this testimony, Jesus, I pray for the grace to say what you want me to say and not say what you don't want me to say. And let this be all about you, Lord, because nothing that I do or you do is our plans. It's all God's plans that He set before us in the foundation of the world. And when we come into the will of God, we come into the plans and the purposes of why Jesus Christ created you, there becomes freedom. I'll say before I start, in my life, what I really realized was in everything I did, there was never truly fulfillment because it all kind of meant nothing to me. There was no real purpose. When I would be in school, I'd be like, you know, none of this really matters. Just in my spirit, I wouldn't want a desire to study and learn about this. And when I would go to work, I didn't have this desire to make a bunch of money. When I was in the world, it became about seeking pleasure for myself because there was no true purpose until the day that I met Jesus Christ. And I really realized spiritually that I was created for one thing, to love God and to be loved by God. And I didn't need to strive for God's love. I needed to just surrender to Him and receive it. And from that place of love, everything flows. From that place of love, the overflow flows. Oh, God. The ministry flows. So, you know, I grew up Catholic. I grew up in a home where I have my parents, I have a sister, a father, a mother who loved me. You know, I came from a Italian home. I never really desired for much. All my physical needs were met. We weren't very rich, but we had what we needed. And I went to Catholic school from kindergarten all the way through high school. And, you know, my home life was good. You know, we got an Italian father. He could be a little hard with his words, but loved me infinitely. You know, if you're an Italian, you know. But I remember going to school and just going to mass. But because of my heart's disposition, just never really connecting with the mass, never really connecting with God. It was kind of just like a duty. We'd go to mass on Sundays, and then we'd go out and have a Sunday dinner after. But when I would be at mass, I remember in eighth grade and seventh grade, I'd have to write essays of why you don't misbehave in church, why church isn't a joke. I always had this just kind of anxiety and restlessness in me my whole life, that there was just always something that was missing. What was missing was Jesus. What was missing was this divine connection. And you know, when the devil knows that God has his hands on your life, he doesn't know the whole story, but he sees part of it, right? He sees part of it. He sees the light that God wants to put into you, and the devil's going to attack you. He's going to attack you in every way to keep you out of the presence of God. And the part of your life the devil is attacking the most is the part of the life that God wants to use you in the greatest fashion. Like Father Tom has spoken about this, and I have. When me and Father Tom were younger, we both had to go to speech class because the enemy was attacking our voice. Because he knew that I was created to not only preach the word of God, but call heaven down upon earth, on earth as it is in heaven. I remember when I was a child, when I was a kid, I used to love sports. And I would really be able to know, I would be able to watch a little, and I'd be able to know everything about sports. So I used to love to listen to the radio. And I would listen to Ted Nation and sports talk all night. And I would sneak in my parents' room, and I would call the radio station. And when I would call, the caller would be like, "How old are you?" And I'd be like, "I'm 8 years old." And they'd be like, "All right, you got to be 18 to be on the show." And I'd just be in my room a little upset. And then they on the radio, the host would say, "There's no age limits on our show. Like Little Man from Salem, we want you to call back." And I'd sneak in my parents' room and I'd call the radio station and they would let me go. Most callers get 30 seconds. They let me go for 20 minutes. And I would, you know, make predictions, break down sports. And my parents would be like, "Who's he on the phone with?" And they turn the radio station, I'd be on. But see, it was always my heart's desire. God put something in me for the radio. Little did I know 24 years later, I'd be on the radio with Father Tom, the great man of God, preaching the word of God, though. Not worried about sports, but the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyways, when I went to college, and I just picked college based on the biggest party school. And I went there, and God gives us all gifts, and I've always kind of had a magnetism about me where people were kind of drawn to me. Because even if you don't fully connect with Jesus, but you get baptized, you get confirmation, you get the sacraments are real. Consuming the Eucharist all those years were real. And the Holy Spirit is deposited within you at all times. And the Holy Spirit is the giver of all gifts. You see, the devil cannot give a gift. He cannot create or destroy anything. He can just take the gift of God and try to pervert it for his kingdom. So as I went to college, I had everything a young guy could want, you know, and I just lived for pleasure. I was able to just kind of do school without much effort, just get by. Not great grades, but just good enough. And I had a lot of popularity, partying, you know, just girls, everything that I was trying to fill my flesh with, I kind of got. And for the first 3 years, it was enthralling. It was wonderful. I had a great time. But the thing about sin is sin multiplies and sin catches up to you. The devil might let you live in your sin at first for a little bit. He's going to draw you in. But every time you sin, it's putting a chain around your soul. Every time we sin, it's wounding and disfiguring our soul. Every time we sin, it is roping us deeper and deeper and deeper. So I remember the first time I used marijuana, it was in high school. And when I did, all of a sudden, all this anxiety in me, it just left. And a peace came over me. So before high school, I went to a nice all-guys Catholic school. I would smoke marijuana on the way in, and I would do it. I'd still play football, still play rugby, still go to the gym, still get my grades. It wasn't really a thing. It was just something that kind of calmed me out. But as I went to college, you know, I was drinking heavily and partying heavily, like every night. And then I kind of got into pharmaceuticals because when I was in high school, honestly, I was just bored in class. I felt the teachers were kind of talking too slow. They'd see me spin around in my chair. They'd be like, Anthony, you're not paying attention. What did you say? And I'd repeat everything back to them. But they'd be like, he had ADD. So I began to like have to take Adderall and like just kind of be enforced. And it kind of that Adderall, it really did something to me where it just kind of made me even more restless and more restless. And it led me to more substance to try to calm down. I'm going up on the Adderall at night. I'm coming down on the marijuana. But when I got to college, you know, I tried opiates and Percocets and benzos and Xanax. And I was just self-medicating. And, you know, they really helped me. I thought they didn't. But, you know, I kind of stopped drinking. I was able to go to the library for 5 hours. Because of that, I was on the dean's list. I was on honor roll. Because the problem was I just never had the peace that passes all understanding that only Jesus can give to do what I needed to do. And, you know, so coming back from high school, eventually, I mean, in college, the drugs kind of took over because the drugs were never the problem. The drugs were the solution. The problem was it was a part of me that was missing. It was Jesus. Because you can have everything of the world, but if you don't have Jesus, you're going to be empty. Because we were created with a God-sized hole in our heart that no job, no relationship, no substance, no accomplishment, no friend, no family can fill. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ. Though there was many times where I took too many drugs and I overdosed and I should have died and the ambulance woke me up. See, the devil was trying to kill me, but it's not so much the devil. I was trapped in sin. I was a slave to sin, which leads to death. But in God's great mercy, he saved me. He preserved me. I should be in hell right now without the mercy of Jesus. We all should be, but I was on the way to hell. There were car accidents. It was just, there's a supernatural spiritual realm that we enter in. And when we're not living under Christ in the obedience of Christ and his word and his church, we are open for the enemy. But Jesus, when after he rose from the dead, he went to hell and he stole the keys from life and death from the devil. And it is up to God who decides when he takes us home. It is up to God in his mercy to decide. So God would continually spare me. Now, what's interesting is I never really had anything with fear. I never felt fear of dying. I never felt fear of really anything. It was just, I would go and I would jump off a 100-foot bridge. I was just seeking something. I was seeking life. Life that I couldn't find in the world. But anyways, I remember I had left where I had a penthouse. I had everything you could want, a pool on the floor, and then I had to come home. And now I was back in my parents' bedroom that I grew up in with nothing. And you know, I was in Salem and I began to seek. I was like, I know there's a spiritual realm, but there needs to be more. There needs to be more. And I remember this girl gave me a crystal in Salem and I could feel the power of it. Because these occult things, they have power. It's just a power connected to the devil. And without the Lord Jesus, you can't know what is what. But I realized it was power and I go, okay, this is something. It just clicked in me because I was connecting to the spiritual realm. And I got drawn into energy healing. I got drawn into ayahuasca and shamanism, where I begin to fly across America and do these retreats, these ayahuasca retreats, where it was like shamanic rituals where you would drink this drink and you begin to trip and you begin to see into the spiritual realm. Now, they think they're talking to their ancestors. We're really just talking to demons, right? And I was hearing from spirits, but I was hearing from the demonic. And basically what really happened, my introduction to Jesus, was I went to New York for the shamanic ritual, and the spiritual realm broke open to me, and they were singing to the plants. You know, once you get in Christ, you realize how crazy it is. You're singing to plants like the plants are going to save you. But basically, in 1 minute, while I had, most people had one or two cups, and then you kind of, they can't even open their eyes. I had like seven. The shaman's like, what's up with this guy? Because I just kept drinking them and drinking them. I'm like, I kind of feel good. I feel like I could go on a job interview, you know, because I'm just, we're created with different dispositions to receive different things in the spirit. But the spirit realm broke open to me, and all of a sudden I just saw demons. I saw everyone, demons in the people. I saw the demonic, the demons coming down as we're doing this ritual. I just saw the demonic realm. And basically, there was a bunch of witches there. And most people are there just to learn, but there's other people that kind of know what's going on. And they begin to curse me, and I just began to be absolutely overwhelmed by the demonic. But I was never against Jesus. I just thought there had to be more because I never experienced the power. And I remember just saying, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And basically it broke everything. Every demon had to flee. I broke the chain. God, Jesus broke the chains and he set me free. And from that moment on, I knew Jesus had to be real. Now, my best friend, his name is Ryan, in high school, he went to New York and was addicted to drugs and girls, everything you shouldn't do on Wall Street. And he had come back because he had a very bad addiction in AA. And he was told me, I'm going to be a priest. I said, what do you mean you're going to be a priest? He's my best friend. He had been baptized in the Holy Spirit by some street ministers. Then he'd been drawn into the church as he encountered the Eucharist, and God called him to be a priest. And he told me he was actually living at the rectory because he was in seminary that Father Tom is at now, with Father Matt, and praying with Father Matt every day in the chapel for me. And as he said, you need to go to see Father Tom at Holy Rosary. He said it to me in a way that I understood. He's like, it's not like Mass. It's like a rave or an ayahuasca retreat for Jesus. So I said, I'm going. Like, I was never against Jesus. I just didn't understand he was the Son of God. He was the only way to the Father. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power. And as I walked in Holy Rosary, I encountered the completion of the Our Father prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Father Tom explained to me, we don't go to heaven because we go to Mass, or even that we do good and holy things. We go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and we choose to receive the gift of salvation and the forgiveness of our sins, and we begin to follow him and we begin to serve him. And it's a decision. So I made that decision that day 8 years ago to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Maria and Father Tom prayed for me, they laid hands on me. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I fell on the ground. I was filled with the power of God. And immediately demons started coming out of me. Deliverance. I was shaking. I could see serpents and snakes and the spirit of death, the spirit of addiction, the spirit of depression, the spirit of fear. Every chain the enemy began to put on me began to snap. And they all wanted to have a great conference of the Holy Spirit. They're like, oh no, the demoniac's back. Anthony's back. Now, I wasn't possessed where the devil could like access my will and make me do things. But I was so heavily oppressed and in chains that I would come back and I would just get delivered and delivered and delivered. And I remember Ryan saying, like, you have so much humility. God's going to give you so much grace for being delivered in front of all these people and not worrying. I'm thinking in my mind, what do I care what all these people think? What do I care about what anyone thinks about God? It's time for me to be free. It's time for me to give my life to Jesus. It's time for me to come into my plan and my purpose. And you know, for 6 years, I fought the devil. in such an intense way. I remember the day, 4 days after I came to the Lord, I went to the conference all week. And then I heard the voice of God saying, you need to fast. Now, God will use everything in your life. Now, when I was on opiates, I would used to detox myself off of opiates and Percocets. And it's the hardest thing you could ever do as a human, because your whole body just goes into just the worst pain, you sick. But I remember I would never go to the hospital or a rehab because even back then I could feel the spiritual realm, and I would feel so oppressed as I walked in there because the spirit of addiction, all these principalities that are over everyone and controlling everyone in addiction, that I would just do it myself. I would just muscle it out. And, you know, I would go through the worst pain and suffering for 7 days, and I'd finally be free and not dependent on the drugs. But 2 weeks later, I'd go back because it wasn't even like this drug. It was just like, there's nothing in this world worth living. Life is boring. Like, why am I here? Well, I'm not here to work a job, even to have a family, to make money. Like, it's all worthless to me. Until I met the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God kind of put in me an all or nothing thing. But the Lord said, I want you to fast, Anthony. And the devil forces us into holiness. So I had to do the big reason wasn't why I stopped sinning. Wasn't so much fear, like loving God. It was fear of the devil. Every time I would step outside the grace of God, I would get annihilated in the spirit. But when I would be in the grace of God, I would get annihilated as well. So I did a 5-day water fast. And then the Lord called me to do a 21-day water fast. Now, I joke because I go, you know, anyone can fast for 21 days, but I did it with the munchies. At the time, I had so much anxiety, I couldn't stop using marijuana. But after, like, detoxing your body, not eating a cheeseburger or a little food wasn't a big deal to me. So for 21 days, I did nothing but water. I think maybe black coffee. And it would broke the chains, and it broke all the chains of addiction after that. And it broke. I had no more need for marijuana or any of that. And then after 40 days, God called me to do a 40-day fast. And I remember everyone, every priest, every person I went to said, that's not God. Don't do it. You're going to die. This isn't healthy. My mom was like crying. She's like, please don't do it. I went to Father Tom, which is why you need to get under spiritual authority. He said, if God's telling you to do it, you need to do it. So I did it by the grace of God. Nothing to do with me. It was by the grace of God. And after that, when I started praying for people, things started to happen. I begin to be free. But the point is even as I come to God now, the Lord doesn't have me fast like I used to, but the Lord has me give. When I first came to God, the first thing he had me do was give all my money to God, everything I had saved. Then I would save a little more, and he had me give it all to God. He was trying to teach me not about money, but about obedience. The Lord would call me to do random things that this couldn't be the Lord, but I would do them because he wouldn't call. It's not about money. It's about obedience. It's all about obedience. It's all about obedience. And so, you know, I wish I got more about Jesus. But as I've progressed more in the spirit, the Lord hasn't called me to fast like I used to. But what the Lord has continued to call me to do is give, to give my money. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And the Lord calls me to give more and more and more. Because when you're not attached to money, you're attached to God. And when you don't trust in your money, you trust in the Lord Jesus. But I would just say that on this day, this is all God's plan. God created me for one reason, to preach the word of God. God created me to do his will. I will say the greatest moment of my life was not the moment I was saved, was not the moment I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because that moment just, I wasn't saved at that moment. I made a decision to give my life to Jesus. But that moment just marked the war. The moment you give your life to Jesus, you go to war. But you know what? I finally knew what team, there were teams. I knew who I was fighting for. I knew the path to victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. 3 years after I was saved, the Lord gave me the gift. I was in Miami. And it's a great gift. It's a gift of living in the divine will. Jesus gave me that gift. That night was the greatest night of my life because it's a completion of the Our Father prayer on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm giving you the pearl of great price right now. There might be 10,000 people that listen to this testimony, and there might be 50 people that pursue the gift of the divine will. It's the other half of divine mercy is for everyone. The moment that the Lord Jesus gave, I had prayed in tongues for 8 hours. I had preached for 10 hours. I fasted for 40 days. I've given all my money, everything I could humanly do. But in my soul, there was always something missing. But when the Lord gave me the gift, and it's for you, of living in the divine will, I'll never forget that day. It was like I was fused into God. I was fused into His love. I was in Miami, and I began to walk in the street, and I could feel God in all of creation. I could feel the life of God pulsating. Finally, I began to be completely fulfilled. And everything I did on the outside of my life was the same. I still preached, I still prayed, I still fasted. But everything on the inside of me began to change. And I came into this place of peace and love that there's no striving. See, when Adam sinned, he lost the dominion in the union that God created to live him. And when Jesus died on the cross, we are saved and we get the Holy Spirit. But God wants us all to walk in the fullness of what God created us to be. The plan now is the plan it's always been, on earth as it is in heaven. So today, may God bless you. Hopefully I can finish the testimony later, but it's all for the glory of God. Hallelujah. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In season and out of season.